Communion is all about relationship, and communion is all about fellowship. Communion is all about being with one another. If you look in the book of Acts, you see how they went from house to house, and the head, they broke bread from house to house, and they just constantly seemed to be involved in that. But I believe a lot of the meaning behind the Lord's Supper has been lost in the generations past, and we want to glean a little bit again from what it actually means to come to the table of the Lord, and what are the benefits of the table of the Lord, and what are the things that Jesus did for us by coming and making covenant with us at the table of the Lord. And one of the things we want to engage in tremendously about is that God paid the price for our sins, but also for our healing. Now, I don't think I would have to stand up and preach a long sermon concerning God paid the price for our sins. He forgives us for our sins. He's taken away our sins. We've washed us with his blood, and he's cast our sins into a sea of forgetfulness. In other words, he chooses not to remember our sins. And so I don't think that would take a lot of time to go through that. We embrace that. But there's another side of the covenant. Hasn't been preached as much, hasn't been believed on as much, and people haven't received as much of it. And that is the whole area of healing in the atonement of God. Healing that has been paid for in the atonement. So we want to read some of the scriptures behind that this morning. And I pray that the Lord's grace will help us to be able to receive in a new way from in the area, or pardon me, that side of the covenant, I should say. There's the salvation side, the forgiveness of sins. There's the healing side, healing for and health for our body. In the name of Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, I thank you that Jesus told us that you would come and you would bring to our remembrance the things that you said to us. So I ask you, God, that even as I speak, Lord, there would be things brought to my remembrance that Jesus has said that he wants to get across to us today. I pray, God, that you would use me to be able to speak the word in truth, God, that the truth that the Holy Spirit brings would be manifested here this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, God, that these are your people and they hear your voice. They're able to discern your what you are saying. I thank you, Lord, that you bring to their remembrance the things that Jesus said that they need to hear and understand today. God, whether it be through me or whether it just rises up in their spirit, they remember scriptures that you want them to grab a hold of in this time, in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you that these are believers, Father. Say this with me. Father, I'm a believer, and I receive the word of God this day. I love your word. It impacts my life. I embrace it and honor it. In Jesus' name. Important to confess that and declare it and proclaim it, because when you speak it out into the environment, there's the anointing that gets upon it in order to cause it to come to pass. So that's why I get us to proclaim and declare things at times. So talking about the covenant this morning, I want to read from Isaiah 53 for a moment, and I want to read from a couple of different translations. The Jerusalem translation is one I'll read out of first, and then I'll read the Young's literal translation, because there are some translations that do not really give justice to these scriptures. They don't speak of the literal translation of what was really meant when these things were spoken of. The New American Standard Bible is probably, they say, is probably one of the most accurate Bibles with the study helps and so forth. And when I read from my New American Standard Bible, it often has scriptures that have words in it, and then they'll have on the side, but the literal meaning of it is this. And I don't understand that. It just boggles my mind. When they say that the literal meaning is this, why don't they put it there? I asked the theologian, well, I call him a theologian, he's and he's gone to heaven now, but he's an elder man that spent many, many years, and he would spend 4 hours a day at least studying the Greek. And I asked him one time, I said, why do they do this? I thought, I'm going to get a revelation here. I'm going to find out why they do this. And he looked at me straight in the eye and he said, I don't know. I don't know why they would do that. I don't know why they would put another word when they know the literal translation of it is this. But I'm going to read this morning from the literal translation. First of all, the Jerusalem Bible, Isaiah 53:4 says this, "Surely our diseases he bore, and our pains he carried." Surely our diseases he bore means he took them upon himself. "And our pains he carried, whereas we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." In other words, he's saying here that there was so much that came upon him, so much destruction came upon him, that everybody assumed that he was afflicted of God and stricken of God. They thought it was God that was putting that upon him. But he was taking it upon himself for our wholeness. You'll remember the thing Jesus said about his very own death. He said, you know, they don't take life from him. He freely gave it for our justification. He freely gave it. Nobody took life from Jesus. He released it because all power was available to him, and he could have called legions of angels to him, to his side, and they would have never been able to kill the Lord Jesus Christ had he not submitted himself to it. Well, in the same way, when it comes to his body, they afflicted him. They were putting things on him, but he allowed it to happen because he wanted you and I to experience the grace that was on his life. But in order to do that, the penalty had to be paid so that we could experience these kinds of blessings in God. Somebody had to pay the penalty. See, God doesn't just look at something and say, "Oh, okay, I'll just not think about it. I'll pretend it never happened." We can do that. If somebody does something mean to us, you know, in order for our own health, sometimes we can say, "I just pretend that never happened," because we want to treat them kindly. You know, some things, sometimes I hear something about somebody and I really wish I hadn't heard it. I really wish I just, because, you know, every time I see them, I got to deal with that, and I want to put that behind my mind because I don't want that to affect me. I don't want that. I want to embrace them. I want to love them. I want to care for them. But this thing keeps coming up, and it, you know, takes a little while sometime to keep that thing down. I would rather I hadn't known that. And so we just try to say, "I'm going to pretend that never happened." Well, that is not the way God does it. That is not the way it happens in the spiritual realm. There's something happened. If somebody sins, there has to be a price paid for that sin. And we don't realize that sometimes. That you and I, when we get out of the grace of God and we fall into sin, somebody had to pay for the price for that. And the Lord Jesus Christ did just that. He was the only one that was able to do it. He was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, the only begotten of God. And God sent his only Son to be able to pay for the sin, our sin, that we deserved. He took it upon himself. Why? Because he loved us so much. Let me read that scripture again. "Surely our diseases he did bear, and our pains he carried, whereas we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Now I'm going to read that from the Young's literal translation. In other words, it was literally translated, not paraphrased of somebody's own thinking. "Surely our sicknesses he hath borne, and our pains he hath carried away. And we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted." Verse 5, "And he is pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his bruise there is healing to us." Isn't that amazing? By his beatings, by his bruisings, by his whippings, healing was made available to us. Now, the things that we get from God are made available to us by faith. In other words, we receive them by faith. We believe this word to be true. And if something is available to us, usually we'll go ahead and do things to try to get what's coming to us or what's made available to us. I mean, some of us, even over the holiday season, we gravitated to a place where there was a great big meal made available to us. And we come up to that table. We had to do something. We had to be there. We had to come up to that table. Somebody else prepared the table, spent a long time putting a lot of food together and working hard, getting that ready. Somebody else did it. And you and I, you know, we even had the grace, the blessing to be able to come up to that table and be able to receive it. It was made available to us. Well, healing, the Bible calls healing actually the children's bread. If you read Mark chapter 5, you can see it really referred to as the children's bread. So when you're coming up to the healing, you want to receive healing in your body, it's kind of like coming up to the healing table. And he began to sit down and began to partake of what Jesus has paid for us. People will argue sometimes about Isaiah 53 and say, well, doesn't really have anything to do with healing, or doesn't really have much to do with the new covenant. Well, and we have to look at the new covenant and see what Jesus did in regard to Isaiah 53, because Isaiah 53 has to be for us today, or we can't really claim the healing power of God in our lives. But let's look at Matthew chapter 8. And this really verifies very clearly how the healing power of God was made available to us through Jesus' suffering, and how it's spoken about in Isaiah 53. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, it says, "And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick." Can you imagine people coming from everywhere, and anybody that had any problem at all? The Bible says that Jesus healed all who were sick. And notice verse 17, "that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, who wrote Isaiah 53, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." So the New Testament writers are quoting Isaiah 53 in order to validate that the things that happened in Jesus' day when he went about healing all who were sick, it was validating and saying, this is fulfilling Isaiah 53. This could happen because Isaiah prophesied it back hundreds of years before. Jesus came to bring health and wholeness and healing to our bodies. Glory to God. That makes me happy. That makes me happy. And any time that my body is sick or ailing or hurting and so on, I'm so glad that I can go back and say, Jesus, I know you paid for this. I don't understand completely why my body's in pain right now, but I know you paid for my healing. You carried my pain, so I'm claiming your word, God. And that pain has to go in the name of Jesus. Has to leave. Can't stay. Praise God. And it's because of our covenant relationship with him, that we can claim this healing. Let me read now just a little bit about this from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, talking about the covenant. "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do in remembrance, or as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Now, covenant speaks to us of entering into a relationship with someone, and when you enter into that relationship, you declare, all that I have, all that I am, now belongs to you. We have a couple of people in the next year. Well, there's four of you in here that I know of. No, more than that. I better not start counting. I'll miss some. But there's quite a number of you are going into covenant relationship in marriage this year. And this is the thing that you want to talk about. Whatever you see in that your friend or your partner right now, whatever you see, it all becomes yours. Now, you got to, you know, God gives us the wisdom to be able to look at the things that belong to the other person, or who the other person is, or how they handle themselves. And you say, do I want to come in covenant relationship with that person? And if you're going into marriage, hopefully you do. Hopefully you say, yeah, I see the good things in this person's life. I love this person. I care about this person. I really enjoy being with this person. I believe that God would have us come together. And it's important to pray to make sure that God would have you in this covenant relationship. But the other side of that is you are bringing into this covenant relationship who you are, the person you are, the things that you carry. And you need to ask yourself, am I a healthy person coming into this covenant relationship? Am I an individual that has my bag together so that when I join what I carry in with this person that I'm getting hooked up with, the things that I carry will actually enhance the relationship? need to ask yourself those questions so that when you come together, there'll be something beautiful created. Now, when we come together with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and we embrace the kingdom of God, we come together with Him. He's here and He's declaring, hey, everything I have, I'm presenting it to you. Now, He looks at somebody who's not saved and they come to Him and they come to God and they're a sinner. And He says, I know what you carry is really not going to enhance my relationship too much. So before or even as you enter into this relationship, we have to deal with that thing that you carry. And so my Son has shed His blood so that the sin that you carried can be washed away, taken care of. So when I embrace you into this covenant and all of what you have becomes mine, then it's actually going to enhance our relationship. Isn't that wonderful? No wonder God said, he who comes to Christ is a new creation. Any person who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. We come into this relationship, this new relationship, because of the blood of Jesus. So all that we have belongs to God. Let me say that again. All that we have belongs to God. Do you realize that? If you're in true color covenant relationship, all that you have belongs to God. But the other side of that is all that God has belongs to us. Let me read in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. I believe it's the Living Bible I'm reading from. And because we are sons or children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. That's what happens when we get saved. The Spirit of God comes into our hearts. So now we can rightly speak of God as our dear Father. Another way to put it, we could speak to Him as Daddy in our vernacular and where we live in our culture. Now we are no longer slaves, but God's own children. And since we are God's children, everything He has belongs to us, for that is the way God planned it. Awesome when we think of it. Does God have healing? He does. And He's made available to us. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Because we're going to come to the table, and I want us to be stirred in our hearts about receiving. When we receive, we go through that practice of taking the bread into our mouths, that we realize that we are receiving the benefits that come with it. Healing for our body. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And when He had given thanks, He had broken it. That is the bread. And said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Whenever we take of the bread, we partake. We think about it as being His body, and we receive all the benefits from all the destruction that was done to His body. We take that in to receive healing. Now, the word body, I want us to just think about this. The Greek word for body, and it means, in that, and it's used 100, actually it's used 146 times. The same Greek word is used 146 times in the Bible, in the New Testament. And it generally always means, except one time it's translated as slave for one reason, but all other times, other 145 times, it's used as body of a boat, men and women. It can also mean the dead body of a corpse. It can be, but it's also a living body as well. It's a word that's used also to describe bodies of planets or of stars, heavenly bodies. It's used of a large or small, closely united into one society, a family, a social, mystical body. So it's also used as the church. That word is also used when you read that in Scripture. Sometimes it refers to the body of Christ being the church. The church is the body of Christ. So it is in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12, 27, it says, now you are, speaking to the church, you are the body of Christ and members individually. So you and I make up the body of Christ on earth. Now, there's another meaning that I want to touch on this morning of this word. And it is that which casts a shadow as distinguished from the shadow itself. This body This word body signifies that which casts a shadow. Not the shadow, but that which casts a shadow. So if I'm walking along here and there was a shadow, the sun was right, and there was my shadow there, the body I was talking about is me, not the shadow. That which casts the shadow. It's important to remember as we go on. Now, I want us to think about this for a moment because I want us to think of the shadow or the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ, his body, the things that he has paid for. Let me put it another way, the things that are going out from Jesus' body. The things that are going out from Jesus, the things that Jesus paid for, the things that are continually being released from Jesus' body. That would be the shadow. It would be released. Now, how does that influence us when it comes to healing? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 5. This is kind of neat. Acts chapter 5, in verse 15, it says, "So they brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them." This is my body, talks about casting a shadow. This is my body that will cast the shadow of healing on you. When Peter was walking along, his shadow, he was so filled with the Holy Ghost, the anointing upon him was so wonderful and powerful that the shadow, it was almost like Jesus himself walking along and the shadow of Jesus was causing people to be healed. His shadow just covering people, they get up and healed, were healed. Verse 16, "And also the multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by evil spirits, and they were all healed." This is a fulfillment of what Jesus did on the cross and up to the cross for you and I. And I am convinced that before he comes back, we are going to see times like that where the whole congregation, the whole people who have gathered together will be healed instantly by the power of God. They'll reach out and the shadow of the Holy Spirit will come upon them. And the healing will take place from the youngest to the oldest. That everybody will be going out into this world and there'll not be one that'll falter. Just the same way as the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt. The Bible called there over 2 million of them, and the Bible says not one of them faltered. And if he could do that then in the old covenant, how much more in this new covenant can he do that today? It's already been paid for. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. So Peter's shadow, the shadow of the body of Christ, was going over sick people and they were healed instantly. Now let's look at another scripture that we read actually around this time of year from the book of Luke, talking about Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Then Mary had been visited by the angel, and the angel was telling her that she was going to have a child. A child was going to be birthed within her. And Mary said, "How can these things be since I've never seen a man? How can this take place?" And the angels made this reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and your child will therefore be called the Holy Son of God. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow you." Now, what happened when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary? When the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, there was the life of God that came into her and impregnated her with divine seed. So there was life that was imparted. And when healing comes to us, life is imparted to us. When healing comes to us, there is an overshadowing of the life of God that comes upon us. And it has everything to do with the demonstration of the power of God. It has everything to do with the moving of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. That excites me. I believe God is going to bring us into new revelation concerning the Lord's Supper in 2014. I believe he's going to teach us some things about it. And we're going to have a new respect and a new awe of coming to the Lord's table. My God, that excites me. I just feel so fired up in my spirit this morning because it seems like, God, I don't know. To me, he's right here, right now. He's helping me get this out. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Thank you. Verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, the old sacrifices that took place in the Old Testament, each year they came about, and they were always meant to bring to a reminder, bring the people to a reminder of their past sins. Remind them of the sins of the years before. That's what the sacrifices were meant to do, and we read about that in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews tells us these sacrifices were always a reminder of the sins. But Jesus came and sacrificed once his body, once and for all, that we were no longer to remember the sins, but remember him. Because he washed away our sins. Remember what he done for us. Remember him. Make much of him. We are to remember his coming, that he's coming again. Remember him. We don't go back there and dwell on the sins that we did. We thank him for the ditch that he took us out of and planted us on a solid rock. But we think about him. We look to Jesus, our Savior and Lord and Master and Redeemer. We don't look at our sin. We don't look at what we feel like. I don't feel worthy today. I don't feel like I'm wanted today. We don't pay attention to those. We put them down and we look to Jesus and we see that Jesus loved us so much that he came and died for us. So obviously he figures we're a treasure. He figures we're worth dying for. You say that about anybody else that would look upon you and say, "I'll die for you. You're worth dying for." And that's important to notice, you know. Some people might say, "Yeah, I'll die for you because it's the right thing to do. I'll die for Claude because it's the right thing to do. I got his back." But it's another thing for Claude to think that I think he's worthy enough for me to die for. That's, you know, that you are important enough to die for. You are worthy enough. You are worth enough to die for. That's a wonderful thought to have. And Jesus said, "You're worth it. You're absolutely worth it. I'll die for you." And he did. He didn't just say it. He said, "I'll die for you." The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power, again, Luke 1:34, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. It's the power that overshadowed. Peter was walking, and the power of God was on him, and the power overshadowed the people who needed deliverance, who needed demons cast out, who needed healing in their body. It overshadowed them. God, let your overshadowing come upon us this year, that demons would be cast out, that healings would come forth in our body in the name of Jesus, that you would change us into new people, God. Lord, change us into people. Lord, your word tells us that King Saul, that Saul went about and he was doing some things and then eventually the power of God overshadowed him, came upon him, and the Bible says changed him into another man. God, we realize that we need to have a God experience with you that'll seem like we're changed into a new person, a different person. A person that you want to use and overshadow with your goodness. Now we're going to come to the communion table. And we're going to receive. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. We're going to receive from the communion table this morning. We're going to do something a little bit different. And as we do, as we come to the table, we'll bring our receive our morning tithes and offerings as well. And I think really when we bring our sacrificial offerings to the Lord at this time, it really adds a new dimension, because it is saying to all the demonic forces in hell, I don't only say this with my mouth that I serve Jesus, but I'm proving it with my giving as well. I'm proving it with my giving. And so we bring that to him at this time. But as we come to the communion table this morning, I want us to take the juice and the bread, and if you need healing for your body, I want you to just stay up here. Those of you who don't need a prayer of healing, you don't want a prayer of healing, then you can go back to your seat. But I want you to come and think about coming to the table of healing this morning. We're coming to the table of the Lord. I want you to come as if you're coming to the table of healing. And we'll declare and decree the healing power of God over our lives. Stand up with me, please. The song I want you to sing, please. He's Faithful, I think it was. You sing that this morning? Yeah. Yeah. He is Faithful. There's so much about healing in that as well. There's life in the song. As we were singing this morning, I felt there was life in it. And when you come to the communion table, this is what you're coming to. You're coming to life. You are coming to that which God uses to impart life. And I want you to think about that this morning, that when we receive from the communion table, that you are receiving life into you. We have very few, you know, as Protestants, we have very few things, or call them rituals, very few things that we actually do that speak to us about receiving. So I want us to come to the communion table this morning and think that you are actually receiving the life of God into you. And you might say, well, I'm already saved. I already have the life of God into me. I know we do that, but I believe there's blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing that we can walk into. The Bible speaks about taking us from glory to glory to glory. And no matter how glorious our life is, glory can come in a greater measure. Amen. Let me read to you just the scripture this morning concerning the Lord's Supper. Well, let's just pray first and we'll come back to that. Father, as we come to the table this morning, Lord, we know we experience life in the communion table. And as we come to it this morning, I thank you that we also come to the healing table, healing for our physical bodies, that we might be strong and in health. And we know that your word says, I pray that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So Lord, there's maybe some things, healing that needs to take place in our soul realm. So we count that in too, God, as we take from the communion table this morning, we count that in as well. That if there's healing in the soul realm needed, we receive that life and healing in our soul realm as well as our body. And Father, we consider your grace upon it at this time. Say this with me. Father, I set myself ready to receive from the life of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a born-again believer, I invite you to come to the communion table and receive this morning in Jesus' name as we worship him.